They rejected God's word. Not just Joseph's word, they rejected God's word. And that is precisely what Joseph's brothers did.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
It is one of the sad facts of modern history that too many of our children, as they're raised up in our families, worship the wrong heroes. They have the wrong idols. And they envy, the scripture says, they envy the wicked. What a devastating thing that is. And we need to bring the hearts and the minds of our children down into the pages of Scripture and show to them the mighty, dynamic demonstrations of godliness that are revealed in the pages of Scripture. Men like Joseph, and urge them to embrace those kinds of individuals as their heroes, and then purpose to emulate them and follow their example in their daily lives. Every one of us needs a model for Christian living and for Christian ministry, particularly in a day and age when many preachers appear on the surface more as corporation executives than they do as the humble servants of God that God intended for us to be. We need godly, biblical models for the ministry. And one of those classic examples is the man Joseph. Joseph gives to us, provides for us, a beautiful insight into the making of a genuine and authentic man of God. Joseph was called upon to face three powerful tests, and he passed every one of them. The passing of those tests constituted Joseph as a mighty man of God. And as we discern the significance of those tests and how they apply to us, we can follow his example and become men and women of God as well. The first is the test of adversity. And that is found in Genesis chapter 37 and also in the 39th chapter in verses 1 to 6. We'll look at it in just a moment. The second is the test of allurement. As Joseph was seduced by an amoral Mrs. Potiphar. And it's found in Genesis 39, verses 7 to 23. And then the last test that Joseph faced so successfully was the test of advancement. That is, he was promoted. He was advanced to a position of tremendous power and authority and influence. And it's a very significant insight into the character of a man is how he deals with advancement and how he deals with authority and how he deals with power and influence. And there were two powerful temptations that presented themselves to Joseph as he was advanced. One was the temptation to arrogance or pride. The other was the temptation to animosity or bitterness. Joseph had some scores to settle in Egypt and even some scores to settle in his family. But there is no record that he ever used that power and authority that God gave to him to settle those scores. He was a rich man of God. Now, first of all, let's look at this subject, the test of adversity. What is adversity? You know what adversity is in a very just simple definition? Adversity is winds coming at you in a contrary direction. Look in the dictionary, you'll find that kind of a definition. Adversity is hostile circumstances invading our lives, difficulty, sorrow, hardship invading our lives. Many of God's people on significant and many occasions are subjected to powerful influence of adversity. We need to learn how to deal with it. Adversity can be our greatest motivation for spiritual growth, or it can be our deadliest means of discouragement. And you know what the difference is? The difference depends on whether or not we understand God's purposes in adversity. And I wonder if I just might list several of them for you. I want to list seven purposes of adversity. And as we understand them, We come to discern those purposes. Then we can transform adversity, the kind of adversity that Joseph experienced from the hands of his brothers. He was scorned by his brothers. He was sold by his brothers. He was subjugated by Potiphar in his home as a slave. The kind of adversity that Joseph experienced and the kind that you and I experience has very significant underlying biblical purposes attached to it. First of all, adversity may be disciplinary. That's the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. God sent adversity into the Corinthian church. Secondly, adversity may be a deterrent. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. A deterrent to what? In Paul's case, it was a deterrent to pride, to keep us humble. Adversity is a deterrent. Adversity may be didactic. You know what it means to be didactic? It means to teach you something. It means that God sometimes sends adversity into our lives to teach us great lessons. If you want a passage that illustrates that, it's Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 to 5. We're taught great and powerful lessons and principles through adversity. And then adversity may be, number 4, demonstrative. Remember the experience of Job in Job chapter 1 and also chapter 2. Job's suffering was a demonstration of something. That's what I mean when I say it is demonstrative. Job's suffering was a demonstration of something. Maybe God has sent adversity into your life because he wants you to be a demonstration of faithfulness no matter what it costs. Job's life was a demonstration of true godliness, which remains faithful no matter how high the cost. Adversity may be demonstrative. Adversity may be discriminatory. To discriminate means to separate by noting differences. It means to distinguish between two sets of things, elements, or substances. Tribulation has a way of sifting the wheat from the chaff. When the adversity comes, you know who goes? The hypocrites. It is discriminatory. It discriminates between the wheat and the chaff, the sheep and the goats. I'll tell you why the hypocrites go when adversity comes. Because hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. Do you know that the most eloquent proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that 11 cowardly disciples who were hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews were willing to lay their lives on the line and be martyred for their faith in the resurrection? Martyrs and hypocrites are not made of the same stuff. Men do not die for lies, only for the truth. Adversity may be discriminatory. Adversity may be a disinfectant. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. Adversity purifies the Christian's faith in the same way that fire purifies a precious metal. So Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. Now listen, Christian, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the heart. Adversity removes the impurities. And finally, adversity is always developmental. John 15 and verse 2, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. If you're a horticulturalist, you know that the purging process is painful. It's like the surgeon's knife cutting away the superfluous elements from the branch so that the sap of the branch can be channeled into producing more fruit. Purging, adversity, pain, hardship is always developmental. It is designed to enable us to bear more fruit. And so the scripture says in Hebrews 12, in verse 11, dealing with the chastening and the adversity that comes into a believer's life, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now Joseph faced his adversities. You know, Joseph, by the way, did not equate God's blessing with creaturely comforts. Too many of us do. He did not equate God's blessing with creaturely comforts. He knew that it costs to be a Christian. He knew that it costs to be a believer, and he was willing to pay the price. There were three ways in which Joseph faced adversity. One, he was scorned by his brothers. So the scripture says they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Genesis 37:4. They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Genesis 37, verses 5 and 8. Joseph's dreams and words, what were they? What were those dreams and words of Joseph? You know what they were? They were the revelation of God. They were the mind of God. They were the authoritative word of God. Because he was loyal to the word of God, he was scorned by his brothers. They rejected God's word. Not just Joseph's word, they rejected God's word. And that is precisely what Joseph's brothers did. Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Genesis 37:8. Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And underlying their hatred was a seething, boiling envy. The scripture says, and his brothers envied him. Genesis 37 and verse 11. They could see in his character that he possessed the right to make his claims. And they seethed, they boiled with envy. You know, it's a hard thing to be hated for announcing and living the truth. But that's what God calls his people to be willing to experience. It's a hard thing to be hated for announcing and living the truth. Every man of God who proclaims the word of God knows that the scripture has in it a very unique capacity. The capacity at one and the same moment to simultaneously arouse in his listeners, in his hearers, either the highest admiration or the deepest animosity. There can be in this audience one man who's spiritually in tune with God, and when God's truth is proclaimed, he has the highest admiration for that truth and for the proclaimer of that truth. There may be right next to him a carnal Christian, a worldly Christian, or a godless man who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and it arouses in him the deepest animosity. It is a hard thing to be hated for only announcing and proclaiming and sharing and living and believing in the message of God's truth. It is a hard thing. Joseph learned to be hated for nothing other than announcing and living the truth. It's a harder thing to be hated and misunderstood by those who are closest to you, his brothers. But it's the price many dear servants of the Lord have been called upon to pay. Joseph learned.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.